Isn't this awesome? If you get bored during the sermon, we have games. Or if I get bored during the sermon, I have games. If you get a chance, make sure you just pat Lisa Grigsby on the back. She's done a great job with Vacation Bible School this last week. It was a great experience. Had a lot of kids here. Learned a little bit more about the Lord. So that was fantastic. Excited to announce Linda Fancher and Amy Smith. Would you please stand? They want to be recognized as members of the congregation here, mother and daughter. So we're happy to recognize them. So very excited to have them. We continue on with our lesson series this morning on the lie that we buy, or at least that some of us buy this morning. The lie is you cannot be sure of your salvation. It is our custom to begin with prayer, and I'll do that in a moment. We also want you to know that a couple of our elders and their wives will be out in the conference room in the back. If you have any prayer request, want to meet with them, visit with them, have them pray with you, encourage you to do so at the end of the lesson. When we stand up and sing, you can go out and meet with them there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are thankful for the assurance that you do give us. We know that some of us wrestle with that and are filled with doubts, but we know that we have confidence in you, confidence in your love for us. So as we reflect upon this morning, ask that you bless the preaching and the hearing of your word and give us confidence. It's through your Son we pray. Amen. So Fred typically asks me when he's going to be leading singing, you know, what's the theme, so he could pick out some songs, and I always appreciate you doing that. So we're going to sing Blessed Assurance after the sermon is over this morning. Do you have blessed assurance? Well, there's a great many folks that if you ask them, are you confident that when you die that you will be with the Lord? Their response is something like, well, I hope so. Or when the roll is called up yonder, I hope I'll be there, right? There's not much confidence, kind of like the nervous Nelly here, right? I just don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to be there. I'm really not confident. So let me just put this to rest right now. The Bible's very, very clear upon this. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, not hope, that you may know that you have eternal life. So there it is. Let's go to lunch. Right? Nobody's moving. But somebody might ask the question, well, how can I know? And so somebody might respond, well, they paint the picture of God sort of like the Godfather God, right? Who's in total control of things. You will be saved because I said so. It's my worst Marlon Brando right there, right? But it's, you know, this sovereignty of God, God's in total control kind of stuff. So God says you're saved, so you can have great confidence that you're saved because God said so. And they back it up with passages like this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So God has, as sort of the Godfather here, has said, this is how it's going to be, and so this is how it is. And if God has predestined you, then you cannot be unpredestined. You are the elect. God elects certain people. And so Jesus tells us at the end, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. So God's in control. He's got everything taken care of. So the Godfather says, if I save you, you cannot be lost. What is done cannot be undone. What God determines cannot be undetermined. So that seemed like that would give you a fair amount of confidence, right? Because God's got everything under control. So you can boldly say, I'm saved. You can boldly say, I'm predestined. You can boldly say, I'm one of the elect. You can boldly say, I am solid with God. And then you realize, well, it seems like I've known people that were Christians, that were followers of the Lord, and then they left. Now, how is that possible if God's like totally controlling everything? And the Godfather says, they really never were saved in the first place, right? They were just sort of faking it, just kind of going through the motions and all of that sort of thing. Now, in walks the cynic here, right? Uh-huh. You like my cynic? Uh-huh. You know people are going to cheat, don't you? I mean, you know that they're going to cheat because as soon as you tell them that they can have all this confidence because God has caused them to be saved, they're going to cheat. That's sort of just giving them a license to sin, right? Like double not spy. You know, they've got this license to sin. They can do whatever they want. Now, they are bulletproof. They can just sin if they want. If they're saved, it really doesn't matter if they cheat on the test at school. If they're saved, it really doesn't matter if they lie to their boss. If they're saved, it really doesn't matter if they're greedy or not greedy. And the Godfather has a response to that. The Godfather says, a saved person demonstrates fruit. Right? Okay. You see where this is going? The only way I'm going to know if I'm one of the predestined ones, the only way I'm going to know if I'm one of the elect ones is if I'm producing fruit. Then if I'm producing fruit, then you can know if I'm one of the saved ones or one of the elect ones. Okay, how much is enough? How much fruit is enough? Well, now we're back to Nervous Nelly, right? Because Nervous Nelly says, I wonder if I've done enough to show that I'm one of the elect. So this idea that the sovereignty of God, God's totally in control, and that's going to give us all kind of confidence, well, it doesn't really quite play out that way all the time, right? Because if I'm supposed to be bearing fruit to show that, well, how much fruit is enough? And I'm not sure if I'm bearing enough fruit. And now I'm wondering if I'm really predestined or not. And now I'm wondering if I have enough fruit or not. And maybe the Godfather idea of God is maybe not giving me as much certainty in my salvation as I thought. On top of that, the Godfather God has some other issues, right? Because if God is really the one totally in control of everything, well, that means the Godfather, well, I'm so in control, I even cause evil. I mean, if God's in total control of everything, everybody's saved because he wants them to be saved, and some are lost because he wants them to be lost, that means that God is the ultimate author of evil, right? You cannot have it both ways. Either some people have free will or they don't, and if they don't, God is the cause of evil. Other problem with this is that, you know, this whole idea, well, that if God causes some people to be saved, God's sovereign, he's totally controlling that, some people are be saved and then some are not, and oh, you know, they only appear to be saved, that means that they would never really, you couldn't fall from grace, right? Except, I confess this doesn't really jive with Scripture. Because here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, you have fallen away from grace. Now, a little professor of mine would say, you know, it seems like it's very difficult to fall out of a tree you were never in, right? And it's very difficult to fall out of grace if you were never in it. But it sounds like the Apostle Paul says it's impossible. Apostle Peter seems to think so as well. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. How can you fall from a secure position if you were never in a secure position? So it seems like we have trouble with our Godfather God. And think about it. There's really no reason to tell people to like do better, produce fruit, or that kind of thing if they don't have any control of the matter, if God's totally in control of all things. If they're saved, they don't really need to try to produce more fruit. That's just naturally going to happen, right? And if you have to encourage them to do that, that sounds like they have free will. So maybe the God we're talking about is more like this fellow. Okay, your move now. I've done what I'm going to do. Your turn. You're going to have to decide what you're going to do. This means that, of course, you could be saved. You could be in a right relationship with God. And then you could fall away from God, right? But this is where we sort of end up with the Nervous Nelly again, right? I don't know if I'm saved, right? I don't know if I'm doing quite enough. How do I know that when Gabriel blows that trumpet that I'm going to be there at the very end? How do I know? How can I be sure that I'm going to be saved? How can I be sure that I'm going to go to heaven? And some of us have been raised in this environment where I've been taught that we cannot be sure. We've been taught to say, I hope so. I hope that when the end comes, that I'll be with God. I hope that I'm going to be saved in the end. And free will was emphasized to us, and we were told over and over, you have to choose to be faithful. You have to choose to be faithful. And we would wonder, just how faithful? How much do I have to do? How much do you have to go to church? How moral do you have to be? How much do you have to put in the collection plate? And you knew the answer all along was what? More. More. You know you're on the verge of hell all the time, right? God's just waiting for you to slip up and then bam, he's going to get you. You could die at any moment. And if you have any unrepentant sin, too bad for you, buddy. That's it. Well, naturally, this led to a certain amount of legalism. You've got to try to do more and more and more, right? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll just keep working, working. Because we're so nervous about what's going to happen. We're on pins and needles. Am I saved? Am I not saved? I can't really be sure. And if there's any mention of this passage in 1 John, that, you know, the Bible says, you know you can be saved. You know what we say? Oh, sound like a Baptist to me. And so they're perpetuating this lie that I can't be sure if I'm saved. And it is a lie. We can know it's a lie for two reasons. Number one, because, again, the Bible tells us. Back to 1 John. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you can what? You tell me. So you can hope? So you can know? You think the Bible's lying to you? So you can know that you have... Well, what does it say? Does it say? It doesn't say saved, though, does it? So you can know you have eternal life. We often equate saved with, I've got my ticket punched so that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But actually, he doesn't use the word saved. He says, you can know you have eternal life. Eternal life. That's an important term. Life and eternal life are important terms for John, both in the Gospels and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I want you to hear what John has to say about this. Over in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. When is that life going to come? Just we'll get to that in a second. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The best life, the way God intended you to be, Jesus said, I've come for you to have that. When do you get that life? Listen to what John says in the Gospel of John. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Is that something you get when you die? No, he says you've got it right now. That best life, the way in God intended you to be, God is giving you life right now. You have already crossed from death to life. And notice what he says next then. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. So it's life, the best life now, that carries over into eternity. John is saying you can be absolutely, positively certain you have eternal life. With no doubt. How? Well, first of all, the Bible says all the way through it. You can be sure because God is a promise keeper. Listen to this from the book of Numbers. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And you know the answer is what? No. God does not make promises and not fulfill them. He fulfills every promise all the time. So you can have confidence because God is going to stick with you. God is making promises to you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And so if God says it, it is in stone. It is in stone more than death and taxes. It is more in stone than heat in Texas in the summertime. God is certain that he is going to be with you all the time. And you can be certain because of God, the promise keeper. And you can be certain too because God, the Bible tells us over and over, God will give people what they want. The Old Testament tells us this. The New Testament tells us this. The book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, God revealed himself to all of humanity in his creation. If they would just look around, they can see that God exists. Just look around. You can see God exists. But people chose to move away from God and choose something other than God. They didn't want God. They wanted something else. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. What do you want? God will give you what you want. Do you want God and the life that he has to offer you? Jesus said, God will give that to you. If you want it, you believe it. God will give it to you. That take you back to the Gospel of John. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. You have it already. If you want it, you believe it. Now, enter the cynic again. Comes in and says, hey, does that mean I can live any way I want? Yes. And I ask you again, what do you want? Think about what you want. If you want the best life that God has to offer, you're going to live that way, right? Because that is the best thing. What do you want? Think about the scripture reading this morning. The guy that wants the pearl, what does he do for the pearl? Anything and everything. The guy that wants the treasure, what does he do for the treasure? Anything and everything. What do you want? Because God will give you what you want. So if you're cutting corners, and if you're using grace as a license for sin, all that says is you really don't want the life that God has for you. Because if you want the life that God has for you, you're going to pursue that, and you're going to believe and trust in that. Well, our cynic again says, but what if I can't quite live up to the standard? You know, it's a pretty high standard. No problem, the gospel tells us. No problem, John tells you. God's got your back. Listen to John now, 1 John chapter 1. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I want you to notice it does not say purified. That did not happen in the past. And I want you to notice it does not say future. Will purify. What does it say? Purifies. If you're walking in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continues to purify you from all sin. It is an ongoing thing that God is going to continue to take care of you while you walk in the light. Oh, but the cynic says, yeah, but what about sin? Sin's a pretty powerful force, you know. Hard to overcome the power of sin. It certainly is powerful. How many of you have ever done anything dumb? Don't raise your hand, because we'll all raise our hands. Done sinful things. Things that you knew ahead of time were wrong. Why did you do that? Because sin is a powerful force, right? Causes us to do things that we know we should not do. But here's what we need to know about sin. Sin can trip us up. It cannot trip us out. Sin can make us stumble. Sin cannot make us fall. And there's a reason for that. Because sin is a great power, but we have an even greater power in Jesus Christ. We have a greater power in God. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul talk about this. What is it that can separate us from the love of God? How about nothing? Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, be it the power of sin or any other power, any powers, neither king, height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin is powerful. God is more powerful. So we return now, nervous Nelly. Well, what if I'm not what God wants me to be? Okay. Just in your mind, think of the most holy people you can think of throughout history. In the Bible, people you've known personally, maybe you're thinking of Moses. We'll just take Jesus out of the picture, okay? But everybody else, just think of anybody, really holy people. Moses, your grandma, I don't know who, Mother Teresa, anybody you're thinking of holy, right? As you think of all those people, somewhere up there has got to be the Apostle Paul, right? Pretty holy person. Let you hear what he says about himself. Not that I have already attained all this, nor already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know why he presses on? Because he's not what he's supposed to be yet. And we're all in that club, right? He knows he's not what he's supposed to be yet. But what is he doing? He's pressing on. But not once do you hear the Apostle Paul, when somebody asks him, are you saved? Well, I hope so. Man, I hope that when I have to get to the end, I'm going to be there. No. He knows he's not what he's supposed to be, but he has great assurance. God is more powerful. God is going to make this work. God is going to bring things to pass. So here is the bottom line. You can only be unsure of your salvation if one of two things happens. Number one, God stops loving you. When's that going to happen? How about never? Or number two, you stop loving God. One of those two things. So I want everybody to raise your hand. Just everybody raise your hand. I'm going to assume everybody's going to agree to all these things. Do you love God? Okay. Do you intend to keep loving God? Okay. Do you want the life that God has to offer? Okay, now keep your hand up here, right? You ready? Are you absolutely, positively certain that you have this life that God wants you to have and you will have it into eternity? Okay, then, let's sing about it.